Andy Cohen. Nene always had the best one-liners. She made me howl from the jump. Carlos King. Then we go pick up Kim, and she had a dress that needed last-minute alterations, so she makes us pull into a Shell gas station where she meets up with the designer and proceeds to get butt-ass naked to change into this dress. I was like, you cannot script this shit! I was salivating. Again, my homework was The Hills. All I was thinking was, Heidi and LC aren't doing this shit. Deshaun Snow. Kim was funny. She was good TV. Carlos King. By the time we got to Sheree's house, I thought it couldn't get better. And boom, Nene walked up and her name wasn't on the security list. Deshaun Snow. We all went there knowing that Nene was going to be on that list. So when she wasn't on it, that was surprising. Carlos King. Now, did Sheree do that on purpose? That will always be an urban legend. Who knows? Sheree Whitfield. I don't know how it happened. I gave them the list and she was supposed to be on it. I guess she didn't make the cut. Carlos King. I truly am telling you, not one producer knew that was going to happen. And Nene broke the fourth wall immediately. We didn't show it, but she said, I'm on this show. These cameras are following me. But security was adamant. They said, ma'am, you cannot enter this party. You are not on the list. Sheree Whitfield. I gave them good TV. How about that? Carlos King. What I learned from that is you have to let the reality play out because we just stepped back and followed Nene's reaction. Nene was like, fuck that. And even when Sheree's assistant tried to apologize and let her in, Nene wouldn't budge. Sheree Whitfield. Nene and I were not getting along. It didn't make sense for her to come to my house. I wouldn't want anyone in my house who isn't my friend. And a girlfriend of mine, she was working the list and, I don't know, Nene somehow wasn't on it. Carlos King. Ultimately, it made for an iconic scene. Sheree Whitfield. It turned out how it should have turned out. You see the fool she was outside? She didn't need to be inside. Because she was going to bring nothing but negative, bad energy into my home, and that's where I gotta lay my head. Sheree's birthday party was just one of the memorable parties she threw in season one. She ended the season by throwing a party to debut her clothing collection, She by Sheree. Well, sort of. Carlos King. She by Sheree. Is there anything more iconic? Sheree Whitfield. I had a high fashion boutique that I closed right before I started doing Housewives. I had been running it for 5 years in hopes that I would one day be able to carry my own line. But it wasn't in the best area, and even though it did well and I had lots of celebrity clients, it was a hassle to keep it open. With the business closed, I started to think of what was next, especially knowing that I was on this show and was about to get major exposure. So I said, let me start my own line. But it didn't work out because there just wasn't enough time. We had, what, 7 episodes? There's a lot that goes into starting a line. I just couldn't do it that fast. Carlos King. That's where Dwight Eubanks called it a fashion show with no fashions. Sheree Whitfield. I could have had fashions there, but the clothing just wasn't up to par for me. It was pretty upsetting. Carlos King. Sheree kept pursuing it, bless her heart. And that's what I love about her. She's determined. Andy Cohen. Like Sonia's toaster oven, I'm still hoping to one day see Sheree dressed in She by Sheree. I have possibly spent more time talking about She by Sheree than Sheree herself. This is a brand with major name recognition, by the way. Sheree Whitfield. Andy asks me all the time. And fans to this day still come up to me and say, I want She by Sheree. Meanwhile, as Sheree and Kim grew closer, Nene and Kim fell out. Sheree Whitfield. Nene always had a problem with that friendship because she introduced us, but we had more in common with each other than we did with Nene. Like, Kim's a fun person to be around. It's a jealousy thing. Nene felt like she brought Kim on. But mind you, before the show, they had not spoken in years. Carlos King. That feud felt like it happened overnight. We knew there was beef between Nene and Sheree, But when tension started to brew between Nini and Kim, it was like, where is this coming from? And I can say none of us in production were happy about it. We loved them together. We didn't want them as adversaries. We wanted them as friends. Sheree Whitfield, you forget how real it all was back then. Our fights weren't around. You didn't show up to my party. Our fights were real fights. These girls, a lot of them really don't get along. Carlos King. It all came to a head at the reunion, which Nini really made happen. Andy Cohen. Nini might think that she invented the reunion show, the way that she tells it now, but I had already hosted reunions in Orange County and New York. But at that time, reunions were not a given for every show. And an Atlanta reunion was not yet picked up. There were questions of, would we fly to Atlanta to do this? These discussions were still going on when I got a call one day from Nini telling me she wanted to do a reunion. Deshaun Snow. Kim had been saying things in her confessionals that Nini really wanted to address. So Nini pushed for that reunion. She had a bone to pick. Sheree Whitfield. Nini always has a problem with everybody. Andy Cohen. She was so funny on the phone. She was like, I'm watching this Kim and the shit she's saying about me, and I want to confront her. You have to do it. It'll be a great show. And that call certainly motivated me. Carlos King. That was the reunion where Nini said to Kim, close your legs to married men. Because Kim was dating Big Papa at the time, which, by the way, we all wanted to know who Big Papa was behind the scenes. We were all very curious. Deshaun Snow. We all knew who Big Papa really was. Kim just gave him that name to protect his identity because he was legally married and going through a divorce. Carlos King. I got a chance to meet him, and it was shocking because you hear the name Big Papa, you think you'll be meeting someone like Notorious B.I.G., right? Well, he's the total opposite. He's the tiniest man. He did not look like the person we thought he would be. Sheree Whitfield. We actually filmed at my house with Big Papa, but it got cut. It was an episode where I was sick, and Kim came over with Big Papa and bought me some medicine. He's actually a really cool guy, very fun. Andy Cohen. I met him at one of the reunions, season 2 maybe? I couldn't believe he was there in the flesh. After all that buildup, it was a little bit of a letdown. He was a little fella. Carlos King. The reunion that year belonged to Kim and Nini. They just went after each other. The other girls were like, I guess I'm just here to be an audience member. Sheree Whitfield. Kim, she's not going to let you walk all over her. She sticks up for herself. She keeps it real, and she tells it like it is. Andy Cohen. Nini, low-key, was starting to lunge at Kim. I was really nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't feel in control on any level, and I didn't know what kind of TV this was going to make. Deshaun Snow. Lisa Wu was, like, sitting on Nini to keep her from jumping up. Andy Cohen. The reunion aired the night before Thanksgiving and got something like 3 million viewers. It was insane. It was definitely one of the highest rated reunions we've ever done. Jeff Zucker, then CEO of NBC Universal, emailed me the next morning like, wow, nice numbers, congratulations. I was like, whoa. Lauren Eskelin. The show did well in the ratings, but the reunion really sealed the deal that Atlanta was a hit. Andy Cohen. That's also when I started pushing for multi-part reunions, because it seemed ridiculous not to air more of this great material we were getting. I still think about footage we never aired from that reunion. To no one's surprise, season 1 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta played to big ratings. In fact, the series would go on to be the highest rated of all the cities in the Housewives franchise. And while all 5 of the Atlanta housewives were thrust into the spotlight, Nini found her way into the zeitgeist like no other. Carlos King. Nini became a huge star after season 1. I saw it coming. 2 weeks before we wrapped, I said to her, you're going to be a huge star. She didn't believe me. She was like, shut up, bitch. No, I'm not. Girl, bye. Sure enough, I saw her during the Thanksgiving holiday while the show was airing, and she said, Remember when you told me I was going to be a huge star? Bitch, you were right. Deshaun Snow. We all knew Nene was going to be a breakout star. Carlos King. She just made everyone laugh. She was fun and hilarious. She had it. Sheree Whitfield. Nene, she wanted to act. She wanted to be on TV. This was her passion. She was taking acting classes back then, so for her to even get this opportunity to do this show, she jumped at it. She worked her way in there. She did what she had to do to stay relevant. Carlos King. Nene knows the moment the camera is on. She doesn't want to be interrupted. She doesn't want you to tell her what to do. Nene is savvy. Sheree Whitfield. It's just not genuine. She puts it all on. Nene would do anything to be famous. Carlos King. Fame can change people. But I'm happy to say, Nene was the same the first day I met her as she is now. She's always remained 100% real. Deshaun Snow. I'm not sure if the other girls were jealous of Nene. I can't speak to that. But the way I saw it, they should have been worried about themselves and doing what they needed to do to take advantage of this platform. Because we were all given the same opportunities. It's what you do with it that matters. Deshaun knows that all too well. As producers planned for season two, the network decided she wouldn't be returning as a housewife. Deshaun Snow. The biggest misconception about me was that I left. I would have come back for a second season, but my option wasn't picked up. Sheree Whitfield. I was not surprised about that. Deshaun Snow. Me either. I get it, too. I had a pretty drama-free experience on Housewives, and that's because I didn't really have any contact with them. The only person I'd talked to was Nene. Carlos King. She was just one of those housewives who didn't pop, and that's okay. The show's not meant for everyone. Deshaun Snow. It's funny, I still watch the show. I'm a big fan. And there are times I'll be like, this is boring. I don't want to watch her. So I get why nobody wanted to watch me. I was boring. In Deshaun's place came a big star, Candy Burris. The Grammy-winning songwriter and singer was known for penning songs like the TLC hit, No Scrubs, and Destiny's Child's, Bills, 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 not to mention her time as a member of the female vocal group, Xscape. But Housewives would introduce Candy, the single mother. Sezen Shavusholo, Vice President, Current Production, Bravo. Candy is almost the linchpin of the group. She's friends with everyone. She's such a true Atlanta personality, born and raised there. She represents the city and the culture. Candy Burris, housewife. Real Housewives of Atlanta caught a lot of flack after the first season, especially from the African-American community. They were like, oh, it's painting black women in a bad light. So when I would mention that I was thinking about joining the show, a lot of people were like, oh, don't do that. That's not a good look. You should never be a part of something like that. And I was like, well, I don't understand. If you feel that the women on the show don't really represent well for black people, and you feel that I'm a good representation of a black person, why wouldn't you want me to be a part of the show? Sheree Whitfield. Candy was cool. We had met before, but didn't talk because she used to date one of my ex-husband's teammates. I used to listen to her music, though. I thought she was a good addition. Candy Burris. I didn't think the show was going to change my life at all, because I'd already had some celebrity. But it became kind of overwhelming when AJ, my ex-fiancé, died after we wrapped filming on my first season. Sheree Whitfield. That was so shocking. Candy Burris. Our relationship was featured that year, and having something so emotional happen, the fans really connected with me. Just walking down the street, people would come up to me and cry. It made me see the power of this reality TV platform. Candy wound up being a great addition for Kim. The two forged a friendship, albeit a short-lived one, with Candy even helping produce Kim's debut single, Tardy for the Party. Candy Burris. When I met Kim, I thought she was really cool. Obviously, she had this whole drama with Nini, and they were making fun of her, but I was like, well, dang, she's just a person who has a dream, and they're hating on it. I mean, I never entertained it like she was a great singer, but there are a lot of people out there who are not necessarily the best singers, but have hot records because they have the right person who believes in them. Something in me just wanted to help her, and that's what I did. Carlos King. In the first season, Kim sings Tardy for the Party in this hilarious scene with Nini, but it's an entirely different song. Candy Burris. It was pretty easy for me to take Tardy for the Party and make it what it needed to be. It turned out super hot, apparently. Sheree Whitfield. None of us thought that it would be as good as it ended up being. I had no idea Kim even sang. Candy did her magic on it. Candy Burris. I knew how to get what I needed from Kim in the studio. When you deal with somebody who is not necessarily the best vocalist, it can be challenging to record them. But you just have to be patient, and you have to have a great engineer that's great at editing. It's as simple as that, really. Andy Cohen. What Candy did with that song was pretty remarkable. I mean, it's such a hit. Candy Burris. Looking back, I don't really look at it as a thing I was necessarily proud of. No diss to Kim, it's just that I take my writing career very seriously. And it's almost like a mockery for me as a writer-producer when I work with somebody who's not really an artist. So for me, it's not a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a highlight. Andy Cohen. There wound up being some kind of controversy between Candy and Kim about the royalties. Candy Burris. That was a big drama. See, when we were making the song, Kim and I agreed to split everything equally between us and the producer who helped me put together the track. We did a friendly handshake. Well, when the song came out, Kim was saying she shouldn't have to split it with us equally. Instead, she wanted to only give us a writer's royalty. It was like, now you want to change the agreement? Fine, let's play it that way. Sheree Whitfield. It basically ended things between Candy and Kim. Candy Burris. The friendship fell out over business. If we had just done everything properly and done the paperwork like we needed to, we probably would have never run into those issues. Of course, you can't talk about season 2 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta without mentioning its most infamous moment. When Sheree and her divorce party planner, Anthony Shorter, got into an epic, expletive-filled argument. Carlos King. Who gonna check me, boo? Sheree Whitfield. He was crazy. What kind of so-called professional person acts like that? Carlos King. Sheree is the best to work with because it doesn't take a lot to get her gears going. Sheree Whitfield. I didn't even know this guy. We met and he was over-promising stuff like saying he would fly a helicopter in. People get on TV and they want to make sure they make the cut, so they'll say anything. But this is my real party. I like over-the-top stuff, but I felt like, don't promise me stuff I can't have. Carlos King. This was right in the beginning of season 2, which is why that scene is in the season premiere. Sheree Whitfield. I met him at his pretend office, and the second I got there, I knew this was going to be some mess. There was tension in the air, so of course, when I sat down with him, it didn't take darn near nothing for him to explode on me. Carlos King. It was just incredible. I wasn't in the field that day. I had an office day, and my phone was blowing up. Sheree and the party planner are going at it! Sheree Whitfield. He was so ignorant. They cut it out, but he stood up, raised his hand, and was like, bitch, I will smack the shit out of you. That's when I stood up and said, I wish the fuck you would. Sometimes people just take you out of your character, and there's nothing you can do. I wasn't going to sit there and let him talk crazy to me. I tried to be calm when he said, you better watch yourself before you get checked. That's why you see me ask, who gonna check me, boo? Carlos King. It's an iconic moment in reality TV history, and one of the most quoted lines of all time. Candy Burris. I watched it over and over again because I thought it was so funny. Carlos King. A week later, Sheree pulled Kim's wig, and I remember being like, who is this Sheree? She went from not having Nene on the list to checking bitches and pulling wigs. What is going on? I don't know, but I like it. Sheree Whitfield. That wasn't a pull. It was a shift. I was just wanting to get her attention. Kim was walking away from me, and you grab a girl's wig. That definitely gets her attention. Carlos King. Everyone made up after that, and then boom, Nene and Kim were fighting again over Tardy for the party. Sheree Whitfield. Nene hated to see Kim succeed. Carlos King. I will say, Nene understood her worth by season two. She was way more confident in herself, and she spoke her mind more. She wasn't a diva in the bad sense of the word, like hard to deal with, but I saw this growth in her. I was like, oh, she's aware. She knows she is Nene Leakes, honey, and she ain't going to put up with this shit. Sheree Whitfield. TV changed her tremendously. She wanted to be the only one of us to stand in the spotlight. There was one big ego among the group, and her name was Nene. Candy Burris. The cool thing about Kim, Sheree, and Nene is that they had a lot of history before coming into this, so their arguments were more authentic, like, you really want to come at me on this other stuff? Because I knew you when. Carlos King. The arguments between Kim and Nene were always next level. All season two, they went back and forth, fighting and making up. And then there was an incident that happened off camera where Nene allegedly tried to choke Kim in a Target parking lot. Sheree Whitfield. They were at Atlantic Station. Kim and Nene were waiting to film a scene shopping at a boutique. But Nene was upset because Kim had supposedly been talking about her behind her back at the A-List Awards. While they were waiting to film, Kim was sitting in one of our producers' car, and Nene went to talk to her. They started arguing, and Nene went for Kim's neck and was choking her. She lunged at her twice. Kim ended up calling the police, but dropped the charges. The cameras were inside the store, so they missed the whole thing. Carlos King. We had to address it because it was obvious they were not going to get past their problems. I mean, they couldn't even do an interview together. They went on Ryan Seacrest's radio show to promote the season and just blew up at each other. Sheree Whitfield. As soon as you're not getting along with Nene, she has no need for you. She throws you out. Carlos King. I'll never forget, right when we premiered that year, Nene was on Watch What Happens Live, which had just started, and Kim called in. I was in New Jersey watching, and I spit out my protein shake because I could not believe the shit Nene was coming up with on the fly. She just dragged her. Andy, he was sweating. He tried to cover his face with a cue card, but you could see he was laughing. Unfortunately, it was at Kim's expense. But it was epic. Andy Cohen. Nene was on fire, and I never recovered. By season three, the network decided to part ways with Lisa Wu, leaving her peach up for grabs. Rather than hire one housewife, Bravo expanded their cast and added two. Even so, when the cameras went up, supermodel Cynthia Bailey had no idea if she'd made the cut. Cynthia Bailey, housewife. I went into this whole thing blind. They told me during my initial casting meetings that they were interested in bringing on a housewife and a friend that season, and that whoever had the more interesting story would be the housewife, while the other person would be the friend. So I shot my entire first year not knowing if I was going to make it as a housewife, if I was going to be the friend, or if I would make the cut at all. I got married my first season, walked down the aisle, completely clueless if anyone was ever going to see it. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. Cynthia was really transparent about the issues surrounding that wedding and the way her family felt about her relationship to Peter. There was a lot of ugly, uncomfortable shit happening, and she put it all out there. Cynthia Bailey. We were told to show our reality, and our reality at that time was very tumultuous. As soon as I got on the show, we started having financial issues. We were getting married, and to be completely transparent, we could not afford to pay our wedding planner. We had to pay him in installments. I kept trying to beg him to, like, can you cut out some drinks from the bar? Maybe we don't have to have a salad before dinner. It was really sad. Brava had given us like $10,000 to $15,000, but that was just to pay for what they were interested in, like making sure the lighting was good. Finally, my wedding planner just said, I'm giving you the wedding you deserve. Pay me when you can pay me. And you know, I have a lot of things I'm proud of in my life, but driving that check over to his place was probably one of my proudest moments. As Cynthia focused on her special day, Bravo's other potential housewife that year, attorney to the stars, Phaedra Parks, was getting ready to welcome her first child with her then-husband, Apollo Nida. Cynthia Bailey. They told me they were filming with a young lady named Phaedra Parks, who I'd never met. In the end, it turned out that Phaedra and I were like night and day, two completely different personalities, so they ended up going with us both as housewives. Carlos King. Phaedra resonated with people because she was super funny in a way we hadn't seen before on Atlanta. Prior to Phaedra, housewives were loud and boisterous and aggressive. She was none of those things, but she was still able to make her mark by giving the audience a different side of a Southern belle in Atlanta. It was just perfect casting. Andy Cohen. I'd first met Phaedra when she was Bobby Brown's attorney, and I was overseeing Being Bobby Brown for the network. She was pretty reserved in our dealings, but really popped on screen. Cynthia Bailey. My only thing with Phaedra was that for some reason, we never got close. I don't know if she saw me as competition, since they were probably telling her, it's you or Cynthia. But there was a wall up. We were cool, but we weren't friends. Sheree Whitfield. Well, no one was close with Cynthia at first because she kind of jumped in Nene's underwear. She was so stuck up Nene's ass. Cynthia Bailey. That's true. You're at the mercy of who you end up coming on with, and when I joined, I was Nene's friend. That meant that there were certain people I couldn't really be friends with. I couldn't be friends with Kim because I was Team Nene, whether I chose to be or not. Me being Nene's friend meant I was Kim's enemy. And that's just the way the show works. In real life, you can play the middle. In reality TV, you have to pick a team. It seems silly and high schoolish, but fans are like, you're supposed to be Nene's girl, and you're over there hanging with Kim? Sheree Whitfield. When you're friends with Nene, you can't be friends with anyone else. Nene won't allow it. That's how it works. Cynthia Bailey. It's unfortunate because at the end of the day, coming on with Nene, I got stuck in Nene land. It held me back from ever really getting close to anybody else. One major moment of Cynthia in Nene land came when Cynthia presented Nene with the infamous friend contract. Cynthia Bailey. That friend contract was the best and worst thing I ever did. Carlos King. I'd vote best. Andy Cohen. It seemed so weird. Cynthia Bailey. Here's what happened. One day, Nene kind of snapped at Peter on the phone. When that happened, I asked myself, wait, are we friends or not? Is she going to be dogging him to the other women in scenes? Because I was starting to learn how the reality TV game was played. So I joked, I might have to put her under a contract just to assure that she's being my friend behind closed doors too. So that's how it started. It was fully meant to be funny. Even as I was walking into filming, I was like, this is hilarious. This will show my personality more. She's going to laugh because it's totally ridiculous. Like, who would actually ask someone to sign a friendship contract? That sure backfired, huh? It turned out everyone thought I was crazy. Carlos King. There's nothing harder than being a first season housewife. It's a learning curve. Cynthia Bailey. Oh, I learned. None of those girls liked me after my first season, but I watched and I figured out the game. Like, it never occurred to me to be mean-spirited in the interviews. I was going in there like, everything's unicorns and rainbows. I learned we're supposed to defend ourselves against people who we've seen saying shit about us on the show. I learned you can't trust these girls to have your back. Season 4 found the housewives making major moves in their personal lives. Nene was dating after a divorce from Greg, while Sheree battled her ex for child support. Kim had left Big Papa behind and was deeply in love with NFL linebacker Croy Bierman. The couple would welcome their first child and walk down the aisle by season's end, their wedding airing in a special appropriately dubbed Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding. Sheree Whitfield. I was there when Kim met Croy back in season 3. She came to support me while I was dancing in a local charity event that Croy was also participating in, and she was like, "Sheree, who is that?" They definitely hit it off and have done amazingly well ever since. It's crazy how things have really progressed for them. They have a genuine connection. And there was a new face on the scene in Marlo Hampton, a pal of Nene's. She'd first appear that season as a guest, recurring in a similar role in season 6, 8, and 9. In season 10, she was made an official friend, a role she's held consecutively for 4 years. But the housewife title seems to have eluded her. Marlo Hampton, friend. I auditioned for a full-time housewife. They came to my house and filmed a scene between me and my mother. But my family was too love and hip-hop for Bravo's brand. My mother was eating out of the refrigerator, yelling and cursing and drinking a Colt 45. My truth was not what they wanted. It was not their truth. Lauren Eskelin. I met Marlo when I was casting for season 4. She was being kept by a very wealthy man and was very open, fun, fascinating, definitely housewives material. She was very comfortable with herself. We came to film her home visit, went into her closet to pick out an outfit, and she fully stripped down naked in front of me within 5 minutes of meeting me. I was like, oh my God, it was the most epic casting I'd ever seen. I loved her immediately. Marlo Hampton. I was dating Charles Grant, the big NFL star at the time, and part of me thinks I would have been full-time if I would have stayed with Charles. But I wasn't happy, and I wasn't going to fake it, like a lot of these other girls do. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. We saw that with Portia, we saw that with Cynthia, but that's because their lives evolved along with the show. Marlo hasn't had that evolution. To cast someone who doesn't bring that same kind of diversity in terms of our access to people around them, it's just not interesting. Andy Cohen. That's all true, but her mugshots didn't help her case with the network either. Nene really tried and continued to push for her year after year, though. Marlo Hampton. It hurts. They're more for the new girls they try out who only work for one season instead of being loyal and dedicated to someone who's been around for 8 years. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. The other thing that didn't help her is that there was a time when every time she would come on, all she would do is start fights with people. She fought with Sheree. She fought with Kim. She was best friends with Nene, then she had a falling out with Nene. She was friends with Kenya, then fell out with Kenya. She fought with Portia, fought with Eva. And as fun as that can be for the drama, all of her messiness in the years past contributed to her decision not to make her a housewife. Marlo Hampton. I feel like sometimes I'm holding back because I'm so afraid of, oh my God, the network isn't going to like this. I censor certain aspects of my life because I'm afraid to really give it all to them with no sugar on top. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. Marlo is a perfect friend on the show. She's a great sounding board for the women, and she's fabulous and shady and over the top, all of that. She's still a very important part of our show, and she's mellowed out over the years and really forged friendships on her own with so many of the women. I'm such a fan of who she has become. Andy Cohen. I wish these women would remember the power they have as a friend. They can say anything, do anything, light it up, have fun, and you don't have to show off your family life. It's a good gig. As for the dynamics among the group in season 4, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Nene and Sheree were once again at odds, coming together in the season 4 premiere for an explosive face-off. Carlos King. It took us forever to get Nene and Sheree to sit down in season 4. I spent weeks begging them to talk through this dumb argument they were having. But they did not want to see each other. They did not want to talk. And they each wanted to be summoned by the other. That's the thing with housewives that most people don't know. No housewife ever wants to be the one to call the one-on-one. Well, she needs to call me. Like, that's important to them. So we finally got them to agree by telling the other person that the other one invited them. Whatever it takes to get them in the room. Sheree Whitfield. Carlos knew I could make good TV. He knew I wasn't afraid of Nene. Carlos King. What was interesting about that face-off is it was the first time we could actually acknowledge and address, at least a little bit, that these women were celebrities. Because if you remember, their beef was over these speaking gigs they were doing with Tyrone Gillums, a promoter who was booking Nene, Kim, and Sheree at the time. Sheree Whitfield. People wanted to book me, Kim, and Nene together, but Nene felt like, I'm above Sheree and Kim. She would say, why don't you just book me? She wanted to be by herself. Now, to be clear, me, Kim, Nene, and Lisa Wu all started using the same attorney in the second season. We all received the same amount of money, so boo, you're not above anybody. Carlos King. Nene was fresh off of The Celebrity Apprentice, and she felt she was the richest bitch in the room, which she said it. I'm a very rich bitch. It rolled off her tongue like syrup. I didn't see it coming, but this is the genius of Nene. She was able to deliver that line, stand up, and point her finger in Sheree's face the whole time with such ease. Sheree Whitfield. She acted like everyone was jealous of her. I didn't even watch her on Celebrity Apprentice. I just heard she quit. So how are you cashing Trump's checks if you didn't even finish? Carlos King. It was just super funny. And mind you, this was happening at this tiny winery in Atlantic Station in Atlanta. That's the equivalent of Times Square. Nene left, and there were tons of people outside, and Sheree was chasing her down, saying her car was repossessed. In Atlanta, to see Nene Leakes and Sheree Whitfield scream at each other on the sidewalk during rush hour was everything. Sheree Whitfield. I should have said, fix those doggy dentures. Because they had just started airing commercials with a dog with these big old teeth that looked just like hers. She's had those done a couple of times because they're not as big as they were at the time. They were horrible. Carlos King. They kept going, too, at that season 4 reunion. That's the fix your body, fix your face exchange. I can watch that all day. Sheree Whitfield. She needed to fix that body. Carlos King. A lot of people ask, do they come up with these lines on their own? They do. They're not coached. They're not prepped. It's all theirs. Sheree Whitfield. In the moment, I don't really feel like I'm that good, to be honest. I'll leave filming and be like, damn, I should have said that. Cynthia Bailey. Oh, no. Sheree's one of those people where she seems cool in person, and then you see her go off in interviews and you're like, oh, shit, I better watch out for her. Carlos King. There will never be a rivalry as good as Sheree and Nene's for me. I had a lot of love for them both. Even though I was assigned to Nene, I wasn't always on Team Nene. When you're a professional, you don't get involved in their disagreements or hold biases against talent. Sadly, season 4 would close the chapter on Sheree's first RHOA run. Sheree Whitfield. We could not come up with a mutual agreement for season 5. It wasn't working. Andy Cohen. A lot of women feel at the end like they need a break. Carlos King. But notice they brought on 2 new people to replace 1 Sheree. That's how important she is. Those 2 women, former Miss USA winner Kenya Moore and Portia Williams, then wife of NFL quarterback Cordell Stewart, would wind up carrying RHOA through its next generation, while also forging one of the deepest, most sustained rivalries in Housewives history. Kenya Moore, housewife. I would come to Atlanta all the time to see my aunt and spend time with Miss Lawrence. We are very, very close. But I had hit a brick wall where I was just not happy with the course of my career, my personal life, and so on. So one day I said, I'm going to move to Atlanta. This is the perfect time. And not long after I arrived, I got a call from a producer saying, we hear you're in town. Do you want to go on tape for Real Housewives? Carlos King. No one knows how to make her mark better than Kenya Moore. She stuck like glue. Cynthia Bailey. Kenya came, she showed out, and she's been showing out ever since. She's reality TV gold. Kenya and Portia's casting brought the number of full-time Atlanta housewives up to 7, the largest its cast had ever been. However, one housewife wouldn't last the whole season. Andy Cohen. Kim Zolciak quit in season 5. She just got up and walked out, pushing a cameraman away in the process. She and Croy called me from the car, and he ripped me a new asshole about how unfairly Kim was being treated. I don't remember being yelled at by anyone as much as he did that day. Carlos King. I was not surprised when I heard Kim was leaving. During season 4, it was a struggle to get Kim to participate in any group scenes. She did not want to leave her house. Kim would be like, why can't these bitches come and see me? It's like, Kim, you have to interact with your cast. But she was over it. Lauren Eskelin. She made it very clear to the women that she did not think she needed to give to the show what they were giving to the show. And that really pissed them off. The cast was very united in their feelings about Kim. It was the first time in a long time they were on the same page about something. Cynthia Bailey. Kim can be disrespectful as hell, that's for sure. And we all felt that because she was white, she wasn't held to the same standard as we were. Kim got a pass on stuff. She would show up late to a scene, eating McDonald's. They'd tell her she couldn't eat it while filming, and she'd say, fuck you, and just eat it while filming anyway. And then would get up and leave whenever she wanted. Like, if I did that, I wouldn't be on the show. Lauren Eskelin. The breaking moment came at a brunch where the entire cast was talking about going on the trip. They had been planning these dates and moving around their schedules to accommodate Kim. But now Kim revealed she wasn't going to come because she was pregnant and didn't feel like she could leave her family. Cynthia Bailey. For me, I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how many kids you got. When it's time to come to work, bring your ass to work. Because Cynthia Bailey shows up for work. I film when I'm asked to film. I don't torture production. I don't make it difficult. I love and appreciate my job, and I'm getting paid very well to do it. So be a professional. Lauren Eskelin. None of them were buying Kim's excuse. They were really tired of her trying to get out of everything while they were on the hook to do everything. And when Kim was being held accountable by the women and by the producing team, she wasn't having it. She didn't like it, so she got up and left. And just like that, that was the end. Carlos King. Kim felt like the show wasn't a reflection of her life anymore. You know, that Big Papa chapter had closed. She met Croy and was in that nesting phase. Sheree Whitfield. I'm not surprised that happened. To be honest with you, I don't watch the show when I'm not on the show. But who did she have left? Carlos King. That's right. Without Sheree, who did she really have on that show anymore? She and Candy weren't close. She didn't talk to Nene, didn't talk to Phaedra, didn't talk to Cynthia. And it was like, who are these new girls, Kenya and Portia? Why should I talk to them? You could see her taking inventory of her circle and realizing maybe it's time to move on. Lauren Eskelin. It wound up being very necessary for the other women. It really bonded them. They were happy to move on without having to deal with somebody who wasn't a team player. Cynthia Bailey. Look, I never really got a chance to connect with Kim, but I could see she was good for the show. I had never met anyone like her before. A white lady in a wig, chain-smoking cigarettes and cussing up a storm? That was different. But when these ladies get to the point where they think they're bigger than the show and the network, it's disrespectful. Now, if you want to be a diva and do all this stuff after we're done filming, by all means, but do not waste my time. In the wake of Kim's absence, the drama focused on Kenya and Portia, who weren't exactly fast friends. Kenya Moore. I didn't know her at all. I'm not going to say that she was a nobody, but she wasn't a known person. She was the wife of a known person. They billed her to be this really prominent Atlanta socialite, and when I met her in person, I was like, oh my God, she's like a total airhead cheerleader. I just really did not mesh with her. Then when she invited me to come and be a guest at an event, I took the time to come, get dressed and glam, and she got my title wrong. And people confuse Miss America and Miss USA all the time. That wasn't the insult. The insult was how she reacted when someone corrected her. She was like, oh, whatever. And I was like, no, it's not whatever. The queen of so-and-so does not want to be mixed up with the queen of whatever. They're two totally different things, and you need to respect the difference. So I went outside, and she came out and was just so aggressive and nasty. I had never insulted her, and she was like, you're on the curb where you need to be. I will never forget those words. I didn't understand where all that aggression was coming from. And that's when I decided, with everything about her that I knew so far, it was a hard pass for me. Carlos King. Gone with the Wind, fabulous, was such a moment. Kenya Moore. I felt like I opened a door for her. I had been on TV for 20 years. I made my way and I fought to be where I am. I earned it. And for her to diminish my role in history as the second Black Miss USA, I was upset. So I immediately thought of how Vanessa Williams paved the way for me as an actor, or how Hattie McDaniel was the first Black woman to ever win an Academy Award. That's why I said I was gone with the wind fabulous. It was like, you can't take away my accomplishments from me. I will always be relevant. And not long after it aired, people around me started saying it. I got my life when Beyoncé quoted it after performing at the Super Bowl with Destiny's Child. Andy Cohen. She followed in the footsteps of our other housewives and did a song next, naturally. The more songs, the better, as far as I'm concerned. It's Theater of the Absurd. Kenya Moore. I lost my damn mind in season 5. I don't know what happened, but I was just having fun. Cynthia Bailey. Now twirl, 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 twirl. Meanwhile, Kenya also found herself on the outs with Phaedra. Their initial friendship falling apart over competitive working tapes, rumored boyfriends for hire, and claims that Kenya was making moves on Phaedra's then-husband. Kenya Moore. I had at one point considered her to be my friend. I really did. I had no idea that she was as diabolical and evil as she is. But eventually, I told people on air, she's evil, she's trying to destroy me, and I was right. But because I came on and rubbed people the wrong way, nobody cared whether or not it was true. It was a newbie going against a fan favorite. So fans are going to stick with the girl they know. She said I was crazy, that I propositioned her husband. But that was all because she knew that it's the perception that hurts people. It's not truth. It's the perception. And listen, I don't really start anything. Coming into the show, I just wanted to be myself. I didn't want to do anything to intentionally hurt someone first. But once I taste blood in the water, it's like, now I'm really coming after you. Carlos King. Those clashes were epic, legendary. It's a game of sportsmanship. They are great adversaries. Throughout season 5 and 6, Kenya continued to butt heads with her co-stars, emerging as one of the franchise's biggest villains. And while there may have been tensions on camera, behind the scenes, the housewives knew it was good for the show. Carlos King. As much as they bitched and moaned about one another, the women understood and appreciated being number one. When you are number one, you want to stay number one. Kenya Moore. I had never been the subject of any controversy or negativity until I came on this show. I was a quiet girl in Hollywood. I would come to the set on time, had a great work ethic, was friendly and very professional. There was never any scandal, so I really thought I would continue to have that persona on this show. I said, I'll come in and be America's chocolate sweetheart. People like me, so I'll just be my unapologetic self. Well, that is not the way I came across. Carlos King. If you don't like Kenya Moore, then you don't like reality television. You have to know she's a necessary evil for a show. Same with Brandy Glanville. Same with Lisa Rinna. Same with even Bethany Frankel sometimes. There are certain people who are polarizing that you either love to hate or you hate to love, but you understand their reason for being there. Sezen Cavusoglu. The thing is, Kenya is an incredible housewife. She's so good when she's on. She understands how this works. She gives it her all. She doesn't shy away from conflict. Cynthia Bailey. Kenya lights up a scene like no other. She's someone who knows how to make a moment on TV, even if it's coming for you. Kenya Moore. You need a protagonist and an antagonist for any story to work, right? I get that part. What I don't like, and I don't know if I've ever leaned into it, is the one-sided portrayal, or people being so ready to vilify you when you're actually not trying to be that way. I have a love-hate relationship with the villain concept, but the girls respect me for it. They don't think they could do the show without me. RHOA was firing on all cylinders in season 6. Among its biggest dramas was a twist no one saw coming: the end of Nene and Cynthia's friend contract. Cynthia Bailey. Peter, my ex, was the most vocal house husband they ever had. And you forget, but up until that point on Atlanta, the husbands weren't saying anything. Peter came around and changed the game. He defended his wife and he voiced his opinions, which I thought was admirable. But the other women didn't like that. It became, he needs to stay out of women's business. What kind of man argues with a woman? And that's why Nene called him a bitch. But I will say I learned a lot from that. Now, with my husband Mike, I try to protect him. I want him to have a voice, but I don't want him to be reduced to just being Cynthia Bailey's man on Real Housewives of Atlanta, because he's so much more than that. I don't want him to have to feel the brunt of the things Peter had to go through. I told him, you can have my back behind the scenes, but let me fight my own battles in front of the girls. It's not easy, but most girls would agree. If we didn't have to show our husbands and families on the show, we wouldn't. It's not really fair for them. It's not really their show, so they're not as invested. And the audience always sides with us. It's not really fair. But season 6's biggest moment came early into the reunion, when Portia and Kenya got into a shocking physical altercation. Carlos King. Those reunion shows are 12-hour-long days, or 16 hours when you incorporate glam, production, all that shit. Now, we were shooting for maybe 30 minutes when Kenya started pulling out her props. And as soon as she did, we were all like, don't you just love Kenya? She's amazing, iconic. She's the first housewife to bring a prop to a reunion. Andy was laughing. Even the other housewives, they were laughing. Because that's who Kenya Moore is. That's her shtick. Cynthia Bailey. Kenya was definitely making her mark with those props. Kenya Moore. I brought the scepter for Nene because she always talked about herself as if she was the queen of Atlanta. So I wanted to taunt her with a subliminal message of, I'm the new queen. Same thing with the bullhorn. That was also for Nene because she loves to get very loud and yell, drowning people out. Carlos King. But Portia? Portia wasn't into it. There was something different about Portia's headspace that day. Even before that scepter was pointed at her, or the bullhorn, you could tell something was off. She was not playing. Cynthia Bailey. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know how people are going to react to stuff. Portia was just coming off this divorce from Cordell. She was finding her own self on the show, her own identity. That could not have been easy. And Kenya's antics, for some reason that day, were hitting her the wrong way. Kenya Moore. I wasn't even thinking of Portia at that point because I didn't have beef with Portia. She wasn't really an issue for me. But as the reunion went on, Portia and Phaedra were both gunning for me. Every little thing I would say, they would start in on me. And Portia, because she was on my couch, was throwing these jabs at me left and right. Carlos King. All of a sudden, Portia snapped the scepter out of Kenya's hand. Now, I'm a black boy from Detroit, Michigan, right? I grew up around black women. I knew their behavior. So the second that happened, I inched my chair a little closer to the stage. My spidey senses were like, this could go bad. I was alert. Andy Cohen. This was the same season as Nene's Pillow Talk Slumber Party, which also got violent. And a lot of the women, Nene specifically, really felt like Kenya had provoked that argument by standing up. I was totally clueless as to where this thing was headed, but I might have been the only one in the room who was surprised. Kenya Moore. People will say, oh, Kenya provoked Portia. But go back and watch the scene. She's the first one to start with me, saying crazy, nasty things. Portia called me a slut. Portia said no man would have me. People don't want to see that because I was the villain, right? That's the role they were painting me to be. When you're the villain, it doesn't matter who's fucking with you. It doesn't matter what they're saying. You're always going to be the one to blame. Carlos King. By the time Portia stood up out of her seat and got in Kenya's face, what people don't know is that I was already running. I ran the moment Portia stood up. Because I know when black girls stand up, they fight. And I said to myself, oh shit, a fight's about to happen. No one knew that. I didn't tell anyone that. But that's why 2 seconds after Portia latches her hand onto Kenya's hair, I was pulling her back. If I had gotten there 2 seconds earlier, it wouldn't have happened. Cynthia Bailey. It just happened so quickly. I don't even remember Portia snatching Kenya or seeing Kenya being dragged across the floor. I don't remember my titty coming out. All I remember is Portia stood up, Kenya stood up, and the next thing I knew, Portia was lying on the floor screaming. That's how fast it happened. Carlos King. If you look back at it, you can see that we all fell backward together, me holding Portia and Portia pulling Kenya's hair. Kenya got up gracefully and walked away. She's a bad bitch. But I stayed on top of Portia as the other girl circled around her to get her to calm down. Kenya Moore. I was just in shock. I truly never saw it coming. I know I have my differences with Portia, but most of the time people know that it's not okay to get up in each other's faces. We may yell, we may call each other out of our names, but the cardinal rule is that you never put your hands on someone. Carlos King. Portia said she blacked out, and she did. I remember looking into Portia's eyes. She wasn't coherent. She really was gone. And as everyone was calling her name, she came to life. I saw it in her eyes. She realized what she did, and she was super remorseful. She started crying, kicking herself, screaming, "What did I just do? I'm so embarrassed. I ruined myself. I ruined my career." Kenya Moore. What you did not see was that Portia was screaming, "I quit, I quit, I quit, I don't want to do this," while she was kicking and stomping her feet like a toddler, her fists all balled up. "I quit, I quit, I quit." Andy Cohen. Well, maybe, but Kenya was also saying, "You're fired, you're fired." Carlos King. Nene had her hand on Portia's mouth saying, "Shut up," because she didn't want Portia to say anything she'd regret. Kenya Moore. I remember just being stunned, standing there looking at her. I was like, I can't believe this. I'll reserve the name I thought to call her in the moment. Carlos King. Portia was upset. I wound up picking her up and carrying her off stage to the lobby area where I confronted her. And I really saw in that moment that she was damaged. She had a really difficult season 6. She was going through a divorce. Her entire world was changing. The timing of the reunion, it was just too much. That's why she was so quiet. She wasn't mentally in the right headspace to deal with anything that day. Cynthia Bailey. She was asked to leave the reunion after that. Carlos King. Andy came into her dressing room and said, "You're not in the right headspace for this. It's in your best interest to just go home." And she agreed and apologized. I applaud Andy for at least saying, "Look, this is not something we're celebrating. This is something we realize is too much for you to handle today." Sezen Çavuşoğlu. That altercation was not something that we condoned or approved of. There's a reason why we don't show flashbacks to it the way we used to in the beginning. It really is not an image we want to perpetuate. And it's also not who Portia is anymore. Kenya Moore. I never thought that I would be involved in a physical altercation on a national TV show. That's the worst thing, not only as a former Miss USA, but as a Black woman. It's the worst imagery you ever want to see yourself in. The only step that would be worse would be if a wig would be pulled off, because then you're no worse than the buffoonery you see on the Jerry Springer show. Carlos King. It was a very sad moment overall. Probably the darkest day in Real Housewives of Atlanta history. The following season, Portia was moved to a friend of role. Carlos King. A lot of people think Portia was demoted for that fight. That's not true. Portia came back in season 7 as a full-time housewife. There was no demotion. Lauren Eskelin. We started shooting with Portia, and she just wasn't giving much by way of personal story. In group scenes, she was great and would pop, but alone, there wasn't much there. Carlos King. In order to have that status, you have to give everything. Portia just wasn't invested in being on the show and giving us that story. It was like, wow, maybe she's not capable of handling being full-time right now. So the network made the decision, pretty late in the season, too, to make her a friend. Andy Cohen. If you ask Portia, it was absolutely because of the fight. Lauren Eskelin. And that should be a warning for all housewives and future housewives. The biggest crime you can commit is to not be honest with your personal story. You really need to be open and honest. And if you don't, then you shouldn't be holding a peach or an apple or an orange or whatever it is. While they lost Portia as a full-time housewife in season 7, Claudia Jordan was added to the cast. The actress, model, and former beauty queen had appeared on unscripted TV before, including The Apprentice, Deal or No Deal, and The Price is Right, but was new to Atlanta. Claudia Jordan, housewife. I was doing a show in LA and got a call from producers that my contract wasn't being renewed. Down on my luck, I went out for drinks with some friends in West Hollywood, and they were like, "You should meet Carlos King." So they called him, he was in town, and he met us at our next stop. And the minute he saw me, he said, "I have been wanting to work with you for the longest time. I'm going to change your life." Within a couple of weeks, I was interviewing four housewives. Carlos King. I never had a say in casting, but I would give opinions. And when I met Claudia Jordan, I was like, oh, she's going to be a good housewife. Because Claudia is effortlessly funny. Claudia can hang with the big dogs. Claudia stands her ground. Claudia's organically connected to the women. And you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. Claudia Jordan. People think I was brought on to take Nene out. That was never, ever the case. Before I got on the show, Carlos told me, "People think when they get on the show, they need to come for Nene. That's a mistake. Just do you." Kenya said the same thing. "My fights are not your fights, so I came into it ready to make my own opinions." Carlos King. We tested Claudia, and I thought she was a great housewife. But they thought she would be a good friend. That's how we were originally considering her. Claudia Jordan. I wound up moving to Atlanta because I got a gig working on Ricky Smiley's radio show. So I was connected to Kenya and Portia, who was doing Ricky's television show. Carlos King. We were actually looking at Demetria McKinney, who was dating mega TV producer Roger Bob at the time, to be our new housewife. Claudia Jordan. Demetria had the boyfriend with the money and the connections in the Atlanta film scene. She was more primed to get the peach. Carlos King. What happened was, Roger was okay doing the show until he realized that we needed to shoot with him all the time. He wasn't ready for that. There were tons of conversations where we'd say, "Roger, we need you," and he wouldn't show up to film. He was trying to control his own narrative. And unfortunately, it cost Demetria her peach, because in order for this show to work, you have to have stars who are willing to show their entire lives. You can't introduce your boyfriend or husband to the narrative, and then he never shows up. Claudia Jordan. It was not until we went away to Puerto Rico, and I got Nini together for being extremely rude to Demetria and myself, that I was made a housewife. Carlos King. Nini and Claudia had that epic argument in Puerto Rico. Think back to that. Claudia didn't blink an eye, didn't sweat. She gathered Nini right the hell up. Claudia Jordan. Never in my wildest dreams did I think this one scene is going to make me a housewife. But by that point, I had filmed enough to know that these girls turn it up when the cameras come on and have a lethal mouth. I will say what everyone's thinking. So I dug in. Carlos King. And Nini respected it. Nini was like, "Oh, she's good." She saw Claudia as a formidable opponent. And Nini is the one who said to me and another producer, "Y'all got the wrong bitch. Claudia, that's the one, not Demetria." And that was after their fight. Claudia Jordan. I heard Nini said I was good for the show. And I give her credit for that. She knew that it's not fun to watch everyone kiss her ass or not put up a fight. Carlos King. It goes to show you how much these girls respect it when you can come in and make your mark. There's a feeling of, if you can hang with us, you deserve to be around us. Claudia Jordan. The problem was, by that point, we only had a month left of filming, so there was a frantic rush to cram things in that would flesh out my storyline, which wasn't enough time, really. I didn't get a fair shot. People would say, "She didn't have a storyline outside her fight with Nini," and they're right, I didn't have time to. Andy Cohen. I always thought we didn't give Claudia a fair shake. She just moved to Atlanta. We couldn't decide if she was going to be a friend or what, and her introduction was clumsy. Sezen Shavusholo. Atlanta is a unique ensemble. It really is. I have to say, it's probably one of the hardest shows to cast for. The women are so glamorous, so funny, really well-connected. They now have decades-long friendships. It's hard to bring somebody into that. It's intimidating. And even though the Atlanta Housewives are the nicest group of women I work with, being an outsider coming in, it's hard to keep up with that kind of dynamic. As a group, they're fire. Claudia didn't return after season 7, but surprisingly, neither did Nini. The Atlanta OG announced she would be leaving the show that made her a star, amid a sea of new acting opportunities, including TV roles on Glee and The New Normal. Sezen Shavusholo. It was nerve-wracking when Nini wanted to walk away from the show because she felt like the engine that kept it running. I mean, Nini made the show. I won't mince words about it. It's an ensemble show, but without Nini Leakes, we weren't sure what the show would look like. Kenya Moore. When she left and got on that series, she seemed so happy. In her mind, it was, "I have surpassed all of you. I'm moving on. I am a Hollywood actress now. That's all I've ever wanted." Carlos King. But also, Nini had a rough season 7. There was a disconnect with her and the rest of the cast. She and Cynthia weren't friends that year, and she had been fighting with Kenya and Claudia. At the same time, she was making moves in Hollywood, doing Broadway. She had her sights set on moving on. There were big shoes to fill in Nini's absence, but season 8's casting of actress Kim Fields wound up being a bit of a misstep. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. The casting people at Truly Original pitched Kim Fields' name, and we were like, that's interesting. Would she do it? You know, for a lot of these franchises, famous actresses' names get thrown around all the time. Most of them usually back away and change their minds at the last minute. And Kim Fields was someone who was surprisingly interested. The idea really tickled us. Carlos King. I'm not going to lie to you. I fanned out when I met Kim Fields. Obviously, Kim Fields is a legend. She's Tootie from The Facts of Life, Regine from Living Single. I said to her, "You're an icon, and I love you." I was really excited about working with her. Andy Cohen. I was thrilled with the prospect. It seemed genius. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. If I'm being honest, though, we knew from the beginning that Kim Fields wasn't going to be around for too long. Obviously, she was a big name, and she had a connection to the group through Phaedra. They were both young mothers and cared about social causes, so there was good synergy there. But really, you can never become a successful housewife if you're not committed to doing this show fully. And we could see very early on that Kim didn't realize how involved it was going to be. Carlos King. The problem was, Kim Fields had no idea what she was getting herself into. She had never watched an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And unlike other women who came on the show before without any experience in this genre, Kim did not even understand the institution of reality television. She was a child star. The only thing she knew was scripted and structure, and she never adjusted. Sheree Whitfield. Kim Fields was great as Tootie and Regine, but this was the wrong platform for her. She was a household name. People like that, they get on TV and they're like, I gotta protect my brand. They can't really be themselves. Carlos King. I was in constant dialogue with Kim Fields all season long, trying to get her to understand the structure of reality TV. Remember Jamaica? When Kenya pulled Kim Fields' chair back? So Kim Fields got up after that and bolted. So of course, we follow her and I say, in your real life, who would you want to talk to about this? Because we wanted to film her processing her feelings to someone in her life, her husband, another housewife, about what had just happened. And she said, Andy Cohen. I said, Kim, you can't call Andy Cohen on camera. Why not? Because in this world, Andy Cohen doesn't exist. She goes, I'm confused, Carlos. You want to follow my reality? I'm telling you, I'm going to call Andy Cohen right now and tell him what Kenya Moore did. I said, Kim, this may sound crazy to you, but on this show, Andy Cohen is the host of the reunion show, and that's it. So you cannot call fucking Andy Cohen on camera. It didn't click for her. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. I will say, Kim isn't the first person to think Andy is going to step in and fix things for them. That's not an uncommon perspective. It takes a while for them to learn that lesson. Andy Cohen. We spoke throughout the season, and I kept thinking I was getting through to her. But the results were mixed. I liked her a lot. She wanted to do a great job. Cynthia Bailey. I filmed with Kim a lot. Every time I had the chance. She's a great person. I respect her personality. But on this show, it just didn't feel like the right fit. Kim wasn't the only addition to the cast in season 8. With one OG out, another OG came back, Sheree Whitfield. Carlos King. I left the show after season 7 to start my own company. But they were filming season 8, and a month and a half into filming, nothing was happening. The showrunner left the show, and the production company called me and asked to take me out to dinner. And I'll never forget, they said, we need you. Your show is suffering. This is your baby. Will you come back? Within 24 hours, I had spoken to the network and agreed to come back. But there was one thing I wanted, to bring Sheree back with me. Sheree Whitfield. Shut your face. Carlos said he'd come back if he could bring me back. Oh my gosh, we really worked great together. Sezen Çavuşoğlu. Bringing Sheree back as a friend was a no-brainer. Not only did Sheree have a history with these women, but she still had maintained relationships with many of them. She was very much in their orbit. Carlos King. Plus, I knew the fans missed her. Sheree had been off the show for 3 years. They wanted her back. Sheree Whitfield. You know, I'd had interest in coming back before, but the timing was never right. But this time, I was no longer going through my divorce or fighting for child support. I didn't have the stress of building my house. And I was ready to just have good times with the girls. Carlos King. Listen, I knew Sheree was this lightning rod. And she proved that in the first scene she filmed for us when she showed up at Cynthia's party in all black, like the villain she is, and had this iconic face-off with Kenya over the building of Moore Manor versus Chateau Sheree. Sheree Whitfield. I hadn't even met Kenya before we started filming, and she came for me right away. I walked into that party feeling so happy to be back. Everyone was like, Sheree, 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 which made me feel good. But then this bitch wants to act like a fool. I was like, damn, bitch, I don't even know you. Who are you? What are you doing? Carlos King. This is the beauty of Kenya, by the way. Kenya saw Sheree walk in and said to herself, okay, we've been filming the show for 6 weeks and ain't nothing happened. Now Carlos is back. Sheree is here. I know what I need to do. Sheree Whitfield. Well, that was unbeknownst to me. I knew I had come back to save the show, but I didn't know I was going to be the target as soon as I walked in the door, especially by someone I didn't know. Kenya Moore. I just lit her up about her house. I was building mine not too far away, and everyone was talking about it. Sheree Whitfield. I built that house from scratch. That took me 4, 5, 6 years to build. Anyone who knows new construction knows a bank is not going